Blog Talk Radio.
So was that a thing? I don't know. It's usually the little thing most of you who have listened to the show before, where there's a little sound that says, Blog Talk Radio. But I didn't hear it on my end. That's why I'm sitting here in silence and waiting patiently for the Blog Talk sound, which never came. So I hope you are hearing me. I say that often on this show. I have little faith in the technical prowess of Blog Talk sometimes. Although it certainly seems like they get a lot of their radio shows going. I won't know. I won't know for sure until we get to the end of the show and I hear or don't hear the 90-second warning. So anyway, there's a little temporary perkiness involved with that little having to make the decision. Okay, do I speak? Do I not speak? Do I just sit here in silence forever? What is it that we do now? So I've decided to throw caution to the wind and just start speaking, and let the chips fall where they may. So thank you for joining me this evening, if you are in fact hearing me. If you aren't, thank you for joining me and for at least trying. You know, my name is Mato Sasquatch, and this is my program, The Midnight Garden. And I do invite you to sit with me in between the sugar snap peas and the purple potatoes and talk about things shaman. No, not really shaman. I don't know. Shaman is sort of a broad tag that's been put on the content of this show, shamanism. And on the keywords, you might notice I misspelled it this week. Sorry about that. To bring a number of very unusual interpretations, I guess. But shamanism, what it has to do with man's or human's relationship with the planet, with the earth, and how we draw strength from the earth, how we draw our very lives from the earth, how healing comes from the earth, how peace and prosperity come from the earth, and how when we mess with the earth, bad things happen. So I think most people have sort of an intuitive understanding of how shamanism works if they don't apply that word to it, or have to apply a different word to it, or don't apply any word to it. I think most people know a little bit about it. They to apply the negative case, the anti-shamanism, if you will, in order to say that something doesn't exist, you have to know something about it. Do you not? Unless you just say stuff. So anyway, that's the sort of general label we've put across what goes on here. It's just shamanism, naturalistic things going on. And, you know, they call it in certain disciplines, they call it chi, or there's different sort of takes on the word chi. It's about the energy that one draws from the earth. And I could use me a big old IV of chi tonight. And this has been a running theme on the show for the past few weeks. Regular listeners will know I've started this job at a certain very large, well-known package company, and the shift starts at 6 in the morning. So in order to get all of my ducks in a row and get out there in time, I have to get out of bed at 4:30, and this has been a struggle for me. It results in my being zombified most of the time, particularly on your Fridays when we come to the end of a five-day week. And I'm trying to get some things done. And usually I try, because I know the show is coming up, I want to build in some time, you know, during my daily schedule to have a nap before the show or sometime during the evening. To restore me in some way, and that did not happen today. I had a therapist appointment. I was supposed to take a friend of mine to the emergency room because that's just, this is where she goes to the doctor. She just goes to the emergency room. She doesn't have a regular physician. But we missed connections. I was supposed to pick her up at her mother's place. I've been at her mother's place once, and that was in the middle of the night, and I got lost on the way home. So my sense for exactly where I was going, I've never seen it in the daylight before, but I am pretty sure I was in the right place. But no person there to pick up. So what did I do? I came home very briefly. I didn't get a nap. I think I cooked something for dinner. And then I got, what did I do? I got out and I got in the car and started, did I do, I can't remember, this is only a few hours ago and I can't even remember what I was doing. I just remember I wasn't sleeping. And that would have been the key. That's what I should have done. It's a day for honesty, let me be honest. I was actually avoiding this friend who I can't, because I know she's, well, my feeling is she's going to be upset with me, even though, you know, she wasn't there. And I'm pretty sure I was in the right place. And then she didn't have a phone, so there's no way I can get in contact with her. And also, this is again, under the heading of now it can be revealed. She's sort of a semi-homeless person. She can stay with her. She stays with her mother sometimes. She stays with some friends from time to time, and I'm one of the friends that she stays with. And works out good, keeps her off the street and all that. But the problem is she doesn't really obey a clock of any kind. So she's up all night while I'm trying to sleep so I can, you know, get up at 4:30 in the morning. And so what happens is I get barely any sleep at all, which just compounds the problem. Just adds to it geometrically, as they say. Compounds it geometrically. Old Mudso is not at his best on these Friday nights here just lately. And I think this is something that's going to be going by the wayside soon. What I've been told is this is current to be. I'm a temporary employee now, and after 90 days, I get evaluated. And I'm told the evaluation is all about the speed, the production. You know, this is what this is how many of these packages you need to be going through, and I'm not close. I'm not even halfway. And it's hard for me to imagine me going any faster because I am a slowpoke. It's a genetic condition. I am a slowpoke. I have been a slowpoke since I was a small child. I think I told the story on the show before where I've been tested a number of times. They bring a person in and they have, you know, like a pegboard or just something with little pieces of something that you move from one place to another. Sometimes you stick, like you have, sometimes they give you a screw and you stick the screw through a washer and screw onto a pegboard. You know, the test is just texture manual dexterity. And I had one tester tell me I tested lower than anyone he had ever tested. And I'd had another one a little bit more compassionate to stop the clock. He says the little conversion table he uses, you know, didn't go any lower, any further than that. So he let me start again, and sort of a head start. And all this, I think in that case, it was the thing I was doing was like a puzzle, like a 3D puzzle you're trying to put together, and I was not doing well. But after having had the chance, you know, on the second time, I'd made a couple of mistakes already so that I could avoid them. But a lot of it is just, it's just the speed with which my hands move. I mean, if once they go beyond a certain point, they just, all I do is I start dropping stuff. I can't get the bag open. I struggle with that where I'm at now. So what I do, let me just describe this for those of you who may not have heard it. I don't work in the commercial package section. I work for a returns section for a computer company. What happens is they And I don't know exactly how this happens, but somebody somewhere takes apart these computers or these computer parts that have been returned, and identifies which which ones can be used again for something else, and sends them to us. I get one of these computer parts. I take it out of the box. I look it over, make sure it's all there and what it's supposed to be. And then there's a little barcode. It's not barcode, but it's that thing with that square with the kind of the thing that replaced the barcode. I hit that with my little laser gun, and that goes in the computer and gives me some instructions, and I repackage it and send it on its way. I'll put it on, once I get it in an envelope or a box or whatever, I put it on the belt and it goes. Now, by the standard, I don't think I'm revealing any industry secrets if I say this. Maybe I should. I don't want to get in trouble with an entity as large as this very large package company that was portrayed in a Tom Hanks movie. I just won't go any further than that. But it's FedEx. A package every 90 seconds. And as things, it's not a very intellectually taxing process. It's just my hands and my feet. I got to go and get stuff, the boxes and plastic and whatever is needed. My various limbs will not go fast enough to allow me to get those things done on that average of 90 seconds. And then complicating this, now this I could be getting into, so I'm going to just get horribly general here. But sometimes we get parts that we're not supposed to get. They're not the things, for whatever reason, we get sent parts that we weren't meant to be processing. And what that means is that we are just horribly not set up to do it. And they're going to be way too big, or there'll be 100 identical parts in a box, or something like that, and just not, that's not what we're set up to do. It was supposed to go to a different operation. But, rather than spend the money and the effort to send it to where it's supposed to be, we try and get by and do it. That, when that happens, it really takes a bite out of the old piece count. And there's other things, too, but I don't want to go into it. Again, this is not meant to be a rant against the particular company that I had mentioned. Actually, everybody there has been very nice to me, very helpful, tried to give me tips, give me pointers, how I can go faster. I don't think, maybe I can go a little faster, but I think the tips and the points, they just aren't going to, it's genetic. This is the speed that my hand will go. Just as Odell Beckham, his action of his hands and feet are something he is blessed with. I'm kind of on the other side of that equation. I can't make that kind of magic happen. So I'm thinking of this, it was a 90-day process, and it would end in the second week of January. So, my total expectation, unless people have been blowing smoke up my ass all this time, is that sometime during that week, be the week of January the 8th, someone's going to take me aside and say, Mudto, we've loved having you here. You're a wonderful addition to our group, et cetera, et cetera. But, you're just kind of not getting the production done. And then you're not even really close. And they're right. And I feel bad in some ways. I don't want to make people think that it's, that I don't care. I care about doing a good job. I care about being well thought of. I'm not just going to screw up a job because I personally don't think it's important. obviously the job is important to somebody or they wouldn't be paying for it. And I do believe in recycling, and I do believe, especially with the computer components where so much energy goes into them, we need to be using those and reusing them as much as we possibly can. And there's a toxic repercussions to a lot of the I think there probably are, because there's batteries and stuff like that, so that's toxic. I think maybe I was thinking more of solar panels. As we talked about, recycling and the very careful use of components, because they are very toxic, and that's part of the attack of people who don't like solar panels, is that they are so toxic. Well, yes, they are toxic. We had more work and more opportunity to use solar panels, they would get better, I propose. But as people spend money on them and use them and work with them, they would slowly get better. The way the automobile did. The automobile wasn't shit at first. Then as people didn't start just a very novelty kind of, they didn't start looking at them as a serious sort of consumer product and endeavor for many, many years. And but when they did, and they started looking at the 2020, wasn't Henry Ford probably the one that gets credit for that. And it's probably, I don't really know, I'm wandering into a topic I don't really know a whole lot about, so maybe I'll just back off of it for now. But I know that there was, the early development of the automobile, it didn't take off right away until serious people with some money to put to it stepped up and started to do some work to make the magic of capitalism happen. Now, where did I get from this whole in this whole sort of as I was talking about the computers and the need for them to be recycled? Maybe that's the case that doesn't demonstrate my point, because certainly there are an awful lot of computers out there. Maybe this is a point where economically, it hasn't been a strong enough case to make for getting toxic materials out of it. The recycling is done at least in part to reuse those, so they don't have to go into a landfill, and the people don't have to pay extra to do those things and whatnot. But people haven't. One hopes that at some point, you go beyond, and you don't just, okay, we're doing this recycling because we don't want to pay extra fees for the landfilling, and we progress to a recycling program that addresses the materials themselves, that the materials are reclaimed and reclaimed in a way where they're not hazardous anymore or less hazardous. I mean, where all this is leading, we're heading. We're moving headlong into the post petroleum world. I mean, that's what drives, or oddly enough, fails to drive a lot of these things, is that we're so dependent upon gasoline and other petroleum products, which are going to be used up at some point. We don't know exactly when, but there's only so much, and we're using it pretty quick. And once it's gone, it's gone. And the only thing I really fear, as far as things in the future, things that may be coming, the only thing that I really fear is the last barrel of petroleum being pumped, because that will signal the beginning of the petroleum war. The large countries of the world fight for possession of those last few barrels, and my belief, my feeling, is that it's going to be worse than all the war wars that have ever been fought combined, because as a society we are so addicted to petroleum, and when it comes down to those final strokes, I think human beings can be can be counted upon to play down to their lowest basis instinct. And I don't think I will live to see that happen, but my granddaughter might, and that scares me. It really does scare me. And I think, doesn't it make sense, to work on wind power, work on solar power, work on other alternatives, work on put money to them, make them better? They suck now. Yes, they suck now. But they don't suck. Wind power doesn't suck as bad as it used to. And, I mean, it's because, some work has been done. Wouldn't it be better to have the solution in place before the juice starts to run out? Wouldn't it be better to be ready? I think so. But then, who am I? I'm a package guy. I'm a package guy. I'm a package guy. You know what I mean. I'm a guy who handles packages. I can't remember if I talked about this on the show or not. I put it on my Facebook. We had a couple of weeks ago a big announcement. We have a major new customer coming in. This is not the computers, but someone who does cosmetic, the hair dryers and other stuff like that. And it's the same process. We're processing return. And so they come in to do this announcement, and there's, the general manager of the facility and various people from the office. And I felt myself wanting to drift over to be with them. These are my people. The office people, this is where I belong. So I'm just praying for someone to recognize me and lift me up from the common rabble. They'll come with us. You belong with us. Of course, that didn't happen. But I was genuinely sad after the meeting and leaving, when I had to go back to my station and watch the office people going back into the office. And made me I wanted to be with them. And it kind of got to me when we were doing our safety training, because there's a safety dude, and he did our CFO for a period of 2 days, did our safety training, which mostly had to do with watching videos. And I have gone through this a number of times when I've sat through safety training since I was separated by OSU. And I know what a safety training is supposed to look like. And most people, when you go to or any kind of training, but especially safety trainings, I think you're very much stuck in the mindset that you're doing because you have to do them, because someone requires you, the state or whatever requires you to do them. So you spend the least amount of time and thought you possibly can, and it just ends up being boring as hell. And everybody hates to do the safety trainings or whatever the training is. Usually your trainer, at least our place has a guy whose job is about safety. He does other, all the signage in the plant and other, sort of safety initiatives, I guess, is in charge of that. So at least in this place, we have someone who is, who has safety on his mind. He's just not a trained trainer. So he's kind of going by Xerox pages. You need a teacher in that position. You need someone who can take the dry, a good teacher, someone who can take the dry material and turn it into something that is interesting or finding, as John Dewey said, you got to find something that is personally important to the person you're teaching. I've been, other companies that I'd started with, their trainers, usually someone from personnel or from human resources, who have other things they need to do. As one with a human resources guy was doing the training, and he'd sit us down in front of this isn't the company I'm at now, this is a different company. He'd sit us down and give us, you're so paid because we had to take a quiz afterwards. So we were like listening for the answers, listening to the video specifically for the answers to the questions. He'd put his, you know, he'd start the video and he'd walk out and leave because he had work to do. It shows me that they don't attach a whole lot of importance to this process. I mean, you know, why should I attach importance to the process if you're just gonna leave? I'm happy to say that the training where I am now is better than that. But it's hard when I think, whenever I go on through your trainings, when I think, I could do better than this. I could definitely do better than this. But there's nothing to be said. You don't say it. I think I said it once to that human resources guy I was just talking about. Because he mentioned, this is like I'd only been at this company for a few weeks. And he mentioned offhandedly that they were looking to hire a training supervisor, a training person, which would be definitely a step in the direction, but the person they hired was not the right person. They should have hired me. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What can you do? What can be done? I don't know. What else do we want to talk about? I mean, I think, as I said, we're getting into January, like 6 weeks from now is probably the maximum. But I've reopened the search program. Don't want to take it all the way to, since I am, 90% sure that there isn't going to be, a further offer. That's it. I don't want to just go to zero, maybe get at least some kind of a jump start on something. And I'd made a promise to myself because I didn't get a chance. That's worded disingenuously. I didn't make it a priority to apply or to find out more about work at the casino, which would be convenient for me because it's about the only place I know they hire people that's relatively close to where I live. I could get on the bus in front of my building and go straight there and then come back. So when I took this job at the package company, I was kicking myself in the shin because I hadn't, I hadn't taken the time or the effort to find out what went on with that job. So I promised myself that I am going to, and I'm going to. That's a goal I've set myself for this weekend, is to at the very least get a resume into them. So that'll be cool. Now, hold on just 1 second. I'm going to try and open up my phone. Let's see. It's hard for me to tell because it's just got the numbers on it that I dialed. I can't tell. I cannot tell if my phone is still connected or not. So at any moment, I should be hearing the 90-second notification. And see, now I'm at 12:29, so I'm starting to become fearful that this effort has all been for naught. So I think I'm going to go ahead and just step off of here because now I'm starting to feel silly. I think that I am talking into space. So thank you so much. He said. It's about the Phantom Show for the Phantom listeners. And come back next week and I'll try, I don't know, to get this technical issue worked out and have the show on. So that's it. Thank you very much. Or maybe not. Says okay, I click the other thing and it says that the show is still working. So, okay. Well, anyway, have a good evening. Talk to you next week.